我哋今日第四个议程咧，就系、是、有关呢、這个overriding public need test 嘅三个 presentation。咁三个 presentation 咧，分别系由保护海港协会就同埋想创维港同埋。Business Environment Council， 咁佢哋所要求嘅時間咧，分別咧就係保護海港協會咧係十五分鐘，就 Citizen and Missioning 咧就係十五分鐘。Paul, you only request for 5 minutes, so we have a look. Okay. 咁this will be followed by 30 minutes of discussion。Welcome, Mr. Vincent Chu, Mr. Albert Lai, and Paul.
Can I stay here, or do you want to sit
up? Whatever you want to sit.
Thank you, Chairman, members. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to address you. I promise to be short, but it's a big subject. I will need the whole of the, 10 minutes allotted to me? Right. To prepare for today's meeting, I've taken the liberty of putting before you a paper called The Summary of the Court of Final Appeal Judgment, which you should have. It's taken me some time and effort to reduce a very thick judgment, complicated judgment, onto one page for your convenience, and also translated in legal language into Chinese. May I start by saying that this is an accurate and honest summary. I've used the same language and the same wording as the Court of Final Appeal, and to show my objectivity, your secretariat has received all the pages to which reference has been made, the various paragraphs. You're welcome to check the wording against the actual judgment. Now, so as not to waste time, let me take you through these paragraphs. The first five is done under the heading, The Spirit of the Ordinance. This is my word. This is my own title. That's why it is not there. It is the spirit of the ordinance, right? It starts by explaining the legal importance of the harbour. So I have to go through it very quickly. If you have it in front of you, then I can do it very quickly. First, the public need for reclamation must be so great as to override the importance that the law attaches to the harbour and the degree of protection that the law affords to it. So what the ordinance does, to start with, is offer protection over the harbour. To implement the strong and vigorous statutory principle of protection and preservation of the harbour, reclamation would only be justified where there's a much stronger public need to override such statutory principle. That's a starting point. You protect the harbour. This is the law. This is your duty. Statutory duty. The primary duty is to protect and preserve the harbour. Nothing else. Then it's your duty, prescribed by law. The extent of reclamation that had already taken place renders what remains of the harbour even more precious, and it makes the need to protect and preserve what remains of the harbour all the more important and compelling. This is straight from the Court of Final Appeal's wording. This is what they found. That what is left of the harbour is now precious. We've only got half of it left. Legislative intention. The harbour ordinance accords to the harbour a unique legal status. The harbour is undoubtedly a central part of Hong Kong's identity. There's a great public need to protect and preserve it, having regard to its unique character. So you've got three words to bear in mind. Unique legal status is Hong Kong's identity and its unique character. This is a very high status prescribed by law. Natural heritage. May I say that this is even higher? The harbour is a part of nature which is inherited as a legacy from previous generations and which is to be transmitted from generation to generation. It is a community asset to be enjoyed by the people of Hong Kong. I shall revert to this when I discuss government's technical circular number 1 of 2004. It has a direct bearing on government's duties. Remember the word natural. Nothing man-made can supersede what is natural. You cannot create artificially a tree which is better than something that is grown by the hand of God. So that is the most important thing you must bear in mind. Whatever you do, you cannot improve the harbour. Protection and preservation, there must be protection, that is, it must be kept from harm, defended and guarded. And there must not merely be protection, there must also be preservation. Preservation connotes maintenance and conservation in its present state. This whole paragraph is copied directly from the Code of Funeral Judgment. It's very clear. It's not only protection, it's preservation. That means you don't touch it. So these five paragraphs explains the spirit of the ordinance. It sets the harbour at a very high standard of protection. The next bit I would classify under, and these are my words, what is needed to override the statutory protection. First of all, the point to be made is this. In accordance with the spirit of the ordinance that you protect and preserve the harbour, the government must not itself create the need for reclamation. That is obvious. That's cheating. You comply with not only the words of the law, the wording of the law, but the spirit of the law. The law obliges you, as people in power, to protect and preserve the harbour. You must not do it in such a way as to create excuses to do it. For example, it can be done by rezoning existing land for development. And thereby you do two things. You will create more traffic. Then you say, oh, there's a need for more roads. And you cannot rezone existing open space for development. And then you say, we need more to open space. We need more parks. That would be cheating. Overriding public needs. Five requirements are to be complied with. It must be compelling. In other words, there's a strong public need for protection of the harbour that must be overridden by a need which you do not create, a need which comes, which is genuine, which is honest, present. It must be within a definite and reasonable time frame. You must not consider things that will happen in 30 years. It must be present. Public. This includes the economic, environmental and social needs of the community. Minimum. Reclamation must not go beyond what is required. Finally, no reasonable alternative, where costs, time and delay would be relevant. Now please bear in mind, the minimum and the no reasonable alternative, the words there, must not go beyond what is required. Cost, time, delay would be relevant. It's simply relevant. It cannot itself become a reason. Cogent and convincing materials. Due to the demanding nature of the test, it is not sufficient to encant the test or just to pay lip service to it. Surprisingly, these words are used by the Court of Final Appeal itself. You cannot pay lip service by pretending to comply with the law. You must do it in a proper, honest way. It is your duty. The materials relied on must be cogent and convincing. Each area proposed to be reclaimed must be justified. Now what is at stake? Irreversible loss of a special asset and a natural heritage belonging to the people of Hong Kong. If I quickly bring you back to natural heritage and explain why it is so important. The law says that the harbour is a part of nature, is a legacy from previous generations to us, and we now have a legal duty to pass it on to the next generation. The people, the sons and grandchildren and so on, that who will come after us, from generation to generation, it belongs to them, not just to us. And that, by the way, is in accordance with the principle of sustainable development. Now I'll quickly go to the technical circular and refer only to two minor points. You do have the technical circular, I think. It's signed by the Secretary for Planning, Mr. Sun Mingyang, and the Secretary for Transport, Ms. Sarah Liu. Ms. Sarah Liu. You have that, I think. Okay. Page 2. Paragraph 5. It is misleading for the government to tell you the government is committed to protecting and preserving the harbour and enhancing it for public enjoyment. Those five words are not there. You do not find it in the Court of Final Appeal Judgment. It is added by the government. The words "and enhancing it for public enjoyment" is not part of the CFA judgment. This is wrong. This is dishonest. Therefore, it is explainable only if the government means by these words that it will clean up the water of the harbour. That's acceptable. Or that you enhance the harbour for public enjoyment by enhancing the waterfront. You cannot improve the harbour by filling it in and making, let's say, a harbour park? That's not on. And that is what the CFA judgment says. You cannot improve the harbour by making a park out of it. You can do it by rezoning those cargo working areas into a public park. That's fine. Public promenade, that's fine too. But you cannot enhance the harbour for public enjoyment in the set to justify reclamation. That brings me to the Town Planning Board vision statement, which I'll quickly go through. The previous Secretary for Planning, Mr. Gordon Siu, was the author of this document, of course approved by the Town Planning Board, and we, as the Harbour Society, made substantial contribution to the drafting. I will simply sum up by one statement, which is our vision for Victoria Harbour, our goals for the harbour, all that is contained there was intended to be achieved without reclamation. For example, to bring the people to the harbour and the harbour to the people. How do you achieve that? By not making roads blocking access to the harbour. Second, to enhance the scenic views of the harbour and maintain visual access to the harbour front. How do you do that? You zone buildings so that it will be low-rise and not 72 stories along the Hong Kong waterfront. Three, to enhance the harbour as a unique attraction for our people and tourists. How do you do that? By making it very good use of it and not making it into cargo working areas and so on. So I won't go through the whole list. The point to be made is that we do respect the vision statement of the Town Planning Board, but it is to be achieved without reclamation. Finally, this is my last point. The Technical Circular, paragraph 8, at page 7, is 8.1.14, says this, that there's a duty to ensure that the reclamation must be restricted to only the amount strictly necessary to meet the overriding public need. Paragraph 8.1.15, the extent of reclamation for each and every component must be fully justified on its own and minimized. So that is the government's own circular. That is the task they have set themselves, and we expect them to keep their own word. And that is why the document that was published was flawed. It gives three proposals, but there has never been a proposal and a study that will look into a public submission made by Swire Properties on the 19th of June last year. I have it here. This is a submission whereby the central Wan Chai bypass can be constructed along the Wan Chai waterfront without reclamation by being a submerged tube construction, just as you have across the harbour. It can be done without any reclamation. Therefore, this document, to be honest and fair to the community, should have a zero reclamation proposal. And whether that proposal is feasible or not must be something that you are concerned with. You should be asking the government to propose such a study. By the way, what I'm holding here in my hands is an engineering set of drawings done by engineers. they spend, I think, quite a lot of money on it, maybe $1 million. But this is submitted to the government officially on the 19th of June last year. Why does it not appear here? Why is there no record of your meetings whereby you ask the government to do a study on a zero reclamation proposal in accordance with the law, in accordance with their own technical circular? What's happening? Are we still obeying the law, or is we, do we just, as the caller finally to put it, pay lip service? Thank you. I just completed my submission. Perfect timing. Thank you.
Thank you, Monsieur. We will ask Albert to make his presentation, followed by Paul, and then we will discuss the topic right after. Albert, please.
好啊，多謝主席。我今次咧，我哋呢個係想創維港呢個今次呢個 presentation 咧，就唔係一個純法律觀點嘅 presentation， 因為剛才咧徐律師都講咗啦。咁咧，我諗如果當時啊呢個呢個 CFA 咧係話要求咧係絕對嘅 zero reclamation 咧，咁呢個世界可能簡單好多，我亦都唔需要喺度做呢個 presentation 啦。咁無論話可惜又好，或者係有幸又好啦，咁當時咧就唔係咁嘅決議。咁咧就係有一個 overriding public needs 嘅 test。咁既然係有呢個 test 咧，即係換句話講咧，係有朝一日咧係有可能有 reclamation。咁所以今日咧，我集中咧就講話。我哋認為喺乜嘢情況底下先至可能咧係滿足到呢個所謂凌駕性嘅公眾需要呢個咁嘅測試咧咁樣。我諗當日法院嘅判決咧，大家都好清楚啦，就係、是、所謂公眾需要咧，係指一啲社區嘅需要，而且咧亦都係包唔到好廣泛嘅，無論係經濟啊、環境啊同埋社會嘅需要。佢呢度冇特別指出係交通嘅需要啊。咁啊，但係呢個係一個綜合嘅一個考慮啦。咁而另外咧，剛才徐律師都提過啦，就係話咧，如果係一個所謂凌駕性咧，需要一個 compelling and present need， 同埋一個係冇一個合理嘅取代方案嘅。咁所以我哋依陣間我解釋嘅我哋建議嘅程序裏面咧，其實都會集中於係針對呢一啲喺法庭判決裏面咧佢嘅要求嘅。我哋覺得咧要考慮凌駕性公眾需要咧，係有幾個咧係相關嘅準則係需要係遵守嘅。咁第一個方面咧就係喺呢個里約熱內盧嘅宣言裏面嘅第十條嘅準則呢個係國際通用嘅一個可持續發展嘅一份宣言啦。係咁呢個裏面咧有兩個準則咧，我相信咧喺呢度咧係適用嘅。一個準則咧就係我哋所謂一個補助嘅原則呢個 subsidiarity principle 咧，呢個補助原則嘅意思咧就係話咧所有呢啲有關環境嘅決定咧，都係應該由最低層係受到呢個決定所影響嘅社區去參與做呢個決定。咁既然咧，我哋而家講緊係一個公眾需要，咁好自然咧係一個需要一個公眾主導嘅一個程序。咁換句話講咧，我哋講緊嘅公眾，即係受呢啲可能嘅填海影響嘅公眾咧，佢哋應該係有一個權利咧去參與呢個決策。咁呢個係第一條原則。咁第二個原則咧，亦都係國際上咧好通用噶啦，所謂嘅 access principle， 亦都係從呢、這個里約熱內盧宣言嘅第十條裏面咧引申出嚟嘅，就係話咧所有相關嘅市民咧係應該咧係有渠道去獲得資訊。亦都有渠道咧去參與呢個決策嘅過程嚇，咁呢個咧係亦都係好清晰，係需要做到嘅。咁而第二點原則，我想提下咧，就係話事實上咧呢個共建委員會本身咧係亦都係討論，亦都接納咗咧係有一系列嘅關於海港規劃嘅原則噶啦。咁我相信咧當我哋考慮呢個凌駕性公眾需要嘅測試嘅時候，當然咧呢啲海港規劃嘅原則咧都係適用嘅。咁裏邊咧包括好多啲可持續發展嘅一啲咁嘅原則。嗱，咁我哋建議嘅測試咧，其實咧係分開三個階段嘅，一個三段式嘅測試。咁我哋由下面睇起先啦。咁第一個階段咧就係、是、我哋需要咧一啲嘅工作，一啲嘅專業嘅分析同埋一個資訊嘅提供啊。咁一間我會每一點會詳細講。咁而第二個階段咧 就是我們所謂的 community deliberative process， 是一個社區的決議的一個階段。而第三個階段呢，是一個公開確認的一個階段。我們建議呢，這個整個測試呢是需要有三個階段才可以完成的。那這個第一個階段是什麼呢？就是關於這個資訊的分享和一個專業的意見的一個階段。那這個階段為什麼會重要呢？就因為大家記得呢，剛才我們講了呢，在這個法庭的決議裏面呢，是要求有一個 no reasonable alternatives 這個這樣的意見的。咁如果要做到呢、這個要達到呢個咁樣嘅要求嘅話呢，我哋係需要一啲工一啲專業嘅人士呢，首先呢佢係將一啲有關嘅資訊呢去整合咗，然後呢係去適合到唔同嘅持份者嘅需要，一啲包括一啲好普羅大眾嘅市民，亦都包括一啲比較深入嘅持份者，佢要求一啲好具體嘅資訊，譬如佢自己設計一啲唔同嘅方案咁等等。咁亦都我哋需要呢係有啲專業人士呢去幫忙呢，係去將一啲我哋整個海港嘅一啲嘅需求啦，同埋一啲嘅限制呢講出嚟啦。同埋呢亦都係需要呢將一啲市民提出嚟嘅方案呢，將佢深化去整理，然後呢就去充分的考慮，亦都是需要做一些呢這個可持續發展的一些影響的研究啦。這樣做了充分的研究之後呢，然後呢才可以達到我剛才說了，是一些什麼叫合理的取代替代性方案呢。這些合理替代性方案可能是牽涉到填海，亦都可能不牽涉到填海。這些都要呢是用一個市民能夠理解的方式呢，是擺出來讓公眾去參與。咁我哋強調呢，就呢一個方式呢係同所有海港嘅規劃呢都係，或者海港發展嘅項目都係適用嘅。而事實上呢HPC 目前呢做緊好多唔同嘅規劃檢討嘅工作呢，咁呢啲工作所得出嚟嘅結果呢係可以呢係我相信呢可以好有效咁樣係用到，係作為呢、這、一個我哋第一個階段嘅起步點嘅。咁第二個呢係一個所謂公眾決議嘅一個過程啦，簡稱呢係叫 CDP 啦。咁呢個好明顯呢就係、需要呢我哋公眾呢去參與，然後呢通過佢哋自己嘅選擇嘅方式提出一啲公眾嘅價值嘅取向。咁呢個 CDP 呢個過程呢，我哋認為呢需要呢滿足三個好重要嘅我哋所謂 best endeavor 嘅 criteria， 即係用一個最佳嘅最大嘅努力嘅方式呢去達至到下面三個要求。咁然後呢先至可以呢係等公眾呢係確定到乜嘢呢係一個迫切同埋一個現時嘅需要。咁呢三個所謂 best endeavor 嘅要求係乜嘢呢？我哋認為呢第一個呢係應該話呢有關當局啦，係需要呢通過佢哋最佳嘅努力呢係去發放一啲是有關發放啲相關嘅資訊，同埋一啲咧係未經一啲嘅篩選同埋嘅全部嘅資訊咧係俾呢個公眾人士去得知，呢個係第一個需要。咁第二個咧係應該通過一個即係最大嘅努力咧，就去營造到一個咧係公平咧同埋各方咧都係有包容性嘅參與。而且呢我哋強調呢這個參與嘅過程呢應該呢係喺一個社區裏面進行嘅，包括喺區議會同埋啲地區嘅層面呢進行。因為剛才大家剛剛上一個議題呢都睇到好似東區區議會咁樣，佢哋呢喺地區呢有好大嘅能耐呢去做呢一方面嘅工作。咁所以好強調呢個係一個地區同埋嘅層面呢需要做到。咁而第三個我哋所謂 best endeavor 嘅條件呢，就係話呢需要有關當局利用最大嘅努力呢去使到相關的持份者，特別是一些弱勢的社群呢，能夠有足夠的資源去參與到這個過程，包括呢可能呢用到現在開始國際上都經常會用的所謂 deliberative polling 這個方式，因為有些弱勢社群未必可能可以去到工作坊未必可以去到一些大型的一些的研討會等等，所以呢就需要用一些新穎的方式呢去做到這個工作，攞到佢哋嘅意見。咁做曬呢啲工作之後咧，我哋覺得咧就可以咧去考慮，如果係假設咧 是最合適的一個或者最受市民支持的一個方案呢，是牽涉到填海的話呢，就需要呢做到一個呢，是一個所謂 consensus plan of reclamation， 一個是填海的共識方案，簡稱我們叫 CPR。 那這個 CPR 呢就應該是基於呢上述的一個公眾決議的過程呢而是造成的。咁就第三個階段呢，就係一個所謂一個公開確認嘅一個程序啦。咁呢個公開確認嘅程序呢，我哋認為呢係需要呢係一個公開確認嘅一個咁樣嘅活動啦。咁呢個活動呢係最理想呢，根據國際嘅經驗呢，就係採取一個好似類似 town hall meeting， 一個即係大型嘅一個聚會嘅形式。咁而呢個聚會嘅形式呢，就將剛才所提到嘅CPR 呢是拎出嚟，然後呢是去經過呢個會議裏面去進行呢個確認。咁呢個確認嘅時候呢，我哋認為呢參與者呢係應該包括曬所有立法會嘅議員啦，共建維港委員會嘅議員啦，同埋城規會嘅委員，以及呢係一啲區議會同埋一啲持份者組織嘅一啲嘅代表。咁呢啲代表呢應該係共同去進行呢個工作。因為呢我哋好唔願意見到一個情況呢，就係話有一啲最後決策嘅人士呢，如果佢喺呢個公眾參與過程裏面呢，佢完全都係隱咗形嘅，而唔去了解到公眾嘅意見嘅話，而最後呢做出啲決策呢，呢啲係好唔理想的。所以呢我哋強調呢，呢、這個所謂公開確認嘅過程呢，係必須要呢係包括最後呢有一啲行政權力或者立法權力呢去影響到呢個計劃嘅嘅人士啦。咁所以呢我哋提議呢係立法會議員啦，係共建維港委員會嘅委員啦，同埋一個城規嘅委員呢，都應該呢同時一齊去參與呢個公開確認嘅過程。咁如果呢、這個填海嘅共識計劃呢，假設真係得到確認嘅話呢，咁呢個計劃呢就可以呢就成為一個呢所謂 endorsed plan of reclamation， 一個係確認嘅填海計劃。咁呢個確認嘅填海計劃呢，最後到咗呢步嘅話呢，係應該被視為呢係通過咗呢個凌駕性公眾需要嘅測試嘅。通過咗之後呢，最後呢行政機關呢係需要做出一個最後決定，究竟係咪將呢一個達到確認咗嘅填海計劃呢係去實施呢。如果實施嘅話呢，係應該全盤咁實施，而唔係話零碎咁再通過修改實施，或者呢乾脆呢就唔實施。咁做到呢、這個整個嘅測試嘅話呢，其中一個好重要嘅一環呢，就係我哋整個機制係究竟係要點樣安排。咁我哋呢度呢就建議呢，其實呢個機制呢係有需要四組唔同嘅持份者一齊去參與嘅。我哋認為呢要做好呢個過程嘅話呢，一定要取信於民，而取信於民嘅其中一個好重要嘅方式呢，就係、是、要由一個我哋所謂持份者嘅專責小組去負責推動整個嘅測試嘅過程。咁呢個持份者專責小組呢，我哋簡稱呢係叫 OSP 啦，呢個係凌駕性公共需要嘅 stakeholder panel。咁呢個 OSP 呢係應該由唔同嘅持份者呢係嘅代表呢係去主持。咁呢個持份者嘅專責小組用乜嘢方式去成立呢？我哋建議呢就參考呢國際上而家呢開始流行嘅一種方式，特別係呢參考呢個 Global Reporting Initiative， 呢個 GRI， 大家都可能好清楚啦。 GRI 呢係而家國際上最權威嘅一個做呢個可持續發展報告嘅一個定呢個可持續發展報告標準嘅一個機構嚟嘅，佢亦都係呢個聯合國環境計劃嘅一個協作嘅一個組織嚟嘅。咁佢呢個組織呢究竟係點樣成立佢哋嘅 stakeholder council 呢？因為佢哋有個 stakeholder council 呢就通過呢個方式成立嘅。咁呢就類似我剛一間即將解釋嘅呢個方式。咁我建議呢個 OSP 呢係用一個兩步式嘅方式去成立呢、這個成立嘅。第一部分呢就係話呢，首先呢有 50% 嘅成員呢係我哋建議呢係由每一位在座個別嘅共建維港委員會嘅成員呢都可以提名。咁然後呢共建維港委員會呢可以商議之後呢就推薦俾政府，然後呢由政府去委任。 啊、首先50%。咁而呢50%，譬如假設呢50%係譬如話8個人咁先算啦。咁呢8位嘅成員咧，佢哋咧就接受一啲公開嘅提名。咁呢公開嘅提名咧，係由所有社會人士咧都可以提出啊。咁然後咧，再委任剩余嗰50%嘅成員啊，譬如話剩余係8位，咁就係總共咧就16位咁樣。咁而呢啲成員咧，係需要有一啲嘅當然需要有啲既定嘅條件啦，同埋最重要咧係有一啲唔同界別嘅平衡。咁我哋建議咧係有4個界別需要取得嘅平衡啊，一個咧係政府啦，一個咧係所謂 mediating institution， 包括一啲嘅學術界同埋一啲專業嘅界別組織啦。啊，另外咧係一個公民社會嘅組織啦，同埋呢個商界呢4個組織。譬如假設話我哋4個組織4個界別，每個界別有4位成員嘅話咧，咁可能就16位啦嚇。咁、剛才咧我講嘅兩步嘅方式咧，就係每一步咧就係先係委任8位出嚟。咁而呢個OSP 咧，佢嘅職責範圍咧，應該包括咧係整個設計整個測試，同埋咧係檢視整個嘅測試嘅進行啦。以及咧確保呢個測試咧係按照有關嘅準則去進行，同埋咧最重要咧就係話咧佢要確認咧剛才我哋講嘅所謂 best endeavor 有3個要求啊，用一個最大嘅力量咧去推動造成嘅3個要求咧，都係滿足到呢個要求嘅，同埋咧最後咧去確認咧呢、這個所謂最後嗰個測試咧係完成咗之後咧，出咗呢份咧係已經確認嘅填海計劃，然後咧就將佢咧交俾呢個行政機關咁樣。咁而呢個整個 OSP 咧，佢哋所需要嘅資源咧係包括一啲嘅專業嘅支援啦，同埋一啲嘅獨立嘅秘書處嘅服務咧，都係需要咧由政府去提供呢個資源嘅。咁最後總結咧。我哋建議嘅凌駕性公眾需要嘅測試咧，其實咧係有5個最大嘅特點。第一個特點咧就係話咧，喺無論喺第一個階段嚟講咧，有一個咧係公眾可以得到全面嘅，係未經刪減嘅一啲嘅資訊。第二個特點咧就係話咧，係需要經過一個公眾決議嘅一個咁嘅階段。而第三個特點咧就係需要一個公開嘅確認嘅過程。而第四個特點咧，就係話咧，整個嘅推動嘅架構咧，需要有一個咧係獨立嘅一個持份者嘅專責組。咁而第五個特點咧，就係話咧，喺推動過程之中咧，係一個多方持份者嘅一個管治嘅模式，包括我剛才提到嘅一個 OSP 構成嘅方式嚇，同埋咧整個推動嘅時候同埋決策嘅時候咧，都係依靠一個多方持份者嘅決策模式去進行。我哋相信咧。如果我哋係能夠充分咁樣去嚴謹咁執行呢個咁嘅測試嘅話咧，最後咧能夠滿足到呢個凌駕性公眾需要嘅測試嘅機會咧，係更加大。多謝。
你好 ，Pat。Now we ask the presenter Paul Zimmerman to make his presentation, and then we'll proceed on to the discussion.
Thank you, Chairman. The papers are just being distributed. First of all, I'd like to pay tribute and recognition to Mr. Winston Choon, his efforts he has made over the last decade in coming to the point that we have a harbour protection ordinance and a body of law that helps us protect a harbour and that provides the basis for our work, the Harbour Front Enhancement Committee. Without his relentless efforts, we would not be sitting here.But we also have to recognise, of course, that the protection of the Harbour Ordinance and the Court of Final Appeal judgments in its combination form kind of like a basic law which has been agreed under duress and not necessarily been written by planning experts, and interpretation issues will arise. And the interpretation issues are in front of us today as we look forward. Now, Albert sets out a very distinct process.Which provides an enormous amount of hurdles, but will ensure that if we come to a decision for reclamation, that we have gone through some significant due process. However, which is my paper is about this, due process as a mechanism for establishing that a demand for harbourfront land use is a public need which overrides statutory presumption against reclamation, is merely designed to facilitate reclamation, unless...all measures have been taken to avoid creating or stimulating a demand for harbour front land in the first place. Without deliberate measures, the remaining harbour front land will further deteriorate and reclamation will become unavoidable. Our roads will be blocked and standing there, and we will be forced to consider reclamation because it's unavoidable. We cannot otherwise move those cars. While at the same time, public support will be harder to garner and overrunning public needs tests will be left open to legal and political challenges unless we clearly, as the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee and as a government, have in place all measures to clearly reduce the demand for harbourfront land. Now, the urgency is not the presumption against reclamation, but it is safeguard the acutely limited land around the harbour. We have almost no land left around the harbour for public enjoyment and harbour enhancement. So creating or stimulating demand for harbourfront land uses incompatible with public enjoyment must be avoided. The presumption against reclamation lays down the responsibility to amend policy decisions or to address the lack thereof, which may give cause to a public overriding need for incompatible harbourfront land uses or reclamation. So we have to look back at what we have decided in the past and make sure that we correct those decisions we have made in the past. We can't sit here and just talk about the future. We have to look back at what we have decided in the past and say, is any of that what we have decided going to possibly create an overriding public need in the future? If so, we have to take steps today to correct those policy decisions. Can we open up Ocean Park to an enormous amount of tourists without reclamation? If you decide to open up Ocean Park to a great amount of tourists and spend a lot of money on it, better be aware today that that cannot generate such traffic that you're going to have to be required to build another road on stilts in front of your harbour and be forced to do reclamation if you don't have the space on land. So proactive initiatives are required. The demand for harbourfront land today is the consequence of policy decisions or the lack thereof yesterday. So the examples include, among others, the demand for transport services and infrastructure as a result of land development, or the demand for pumping stations as a result of a chosen cooling technology, or the need for land sales to finance government expenditure. Those are policy decisions in place which actually are forcing us now to use our harbourfront land. So the presumption against reclamation requires the coordination of policy decision-making processes to eliminate demand for incompatible harbourfront land uses or reclamation, and to go as far as reprovision and re-engineer existing incompatible land uses, and to stimulate land uses which enhance the harbour and harbour fronts. Now, that deals with the overriding public need and the need to avoid having to rely on an overriding public need, or that we come to the point that there is an overriding public need, because it's a bad point to be at. Now, there is one other issue, which is an interpretation of the Harbour Protection Ordinance and the CFA judgment, namely the issue of reclamation for the formation of land versus the reclamation for enhancement of the harbour. New and improved water-land interfaces, breakwaters, piers, docks, promenades, and the supporting land uses for those are required to facilitate and stimulate the changing uses of Victoria Harbour. We cannot change Victoria Harbour. The uses of Victoria Harbour exclude all these commercial uses, and they're left with a harbour which cannot be used by anybody because there are no piers, no marinas, because people can't get onto the water. And we have to repair the waterfronts. We have to recognize that our current waterfronts are in a bad state and they need work. And if that work requires some reclamation, then so be it. Inevitably, some of these interfaces may require support on the existing seabed by piling or otherwise. Now, the Protection of the Harbour Ordinance defines reclamation as any works forming land from the seabed or the foreshore. Now, this is a very tricky wording, because some people say that once you have created a pier and you can build on top of a pier, that pier has become land. So that's an interpretation issue which is completely untested. It's like the issue of 2 years or 5 years in the basic law. Okay? So Michael Thomas, QC, in a submission for to the Legislative Council on the heliports, concludes this, that these words are not apt to include the construction of a pier. There is nothing in the ordinance to suggest a presumption against piers. They've always enabled harbors to be used and enjoyed. I've attached his paper to this one, and you can go to point 7 and 8 to get a better understanding of the complexity of his conclusion, because it's not as straightforward as I just summarized it. So even if the mounting of structures such as piers were to be considered formation of land, the development of these facilities must proceed, as they are fundamental in ensuring that the Victoria Harbour is a living harbour, economically viable, exciting, accessible, and enjoyed and used by all people. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. So the floor is now open for discussion. 我哋各位委員對於三位嘅介紹，如果有啲咩提問或者意見。Yes, Dick.
Chairman, some comments if I may. First of all, like Paul, I think we do all owe Winston and his team a major debt, if you like, in terms of what they've achieved. However, and Winston and I are old friends, so I hope you won't take this the wrong way, Winston. The tone of your presentation today was almost as if we're the opposition, as if we're on opposite sides of the fence. We're not. The reason people are here, members of HEC, is because we care as passionately as you do. Yeah, I'll come to that. Don't worry. I'm ready for that one as well. We care as passionately as you do about the harbour. So please, regard us as allies, not opposition. We share many of the values that you share, and certainly we're very aware of our responsibilities in terms of the law. Yes, you've identified a mistake. We've recognised that mistake. We've prepared and issued a new kit, or about to issue a new kit, which does include the very alternative that you've asked for. So, yes, we acknowledge we got it wrong first time, and we've done that publicly. We've withdrawn that document, and we're about to issue something which is far more comprehensive, and I think something that would meet your concerns. But please, treat us as on the same side, because we are on the same side. And in that regard, really, I think what I'm asking for is your expert help and guidance, because one moment you're telling us, cannot touch, and I think those were your very words, we cannot touch the harbour. You actually said cannot touch, which to me it signifies a very passive, or if you like, negative role. And here in your notes you say, preservation connotes maintenance and conservation in its present state. Whereas I would have thought that, yes, clearly those are the overriding guidelines, if you like, but if we're to be a responsible and responsive advisory body, there are occasions when we will be advising the administration to take positive action. And pollution would seem to be one particular example where we can't just sit still and say, well, this is accept the status quo. We should be pushing the administration with you and your organisation and others to really do something about it. And you've probably seen today's agenda. We talked about Yau Tong Bay earlier, where there's clearly a major issue in terms of pollution. Now, I'm not saying that we necessarily support the solution that's proposed by the proponents, but somewhere along the line, the pollution issue in Yau Tong Bay is going to have to be addressed. And that will require positive action rather than just sitting and watching and waiting. So, guiding us, particularly from a legal point of view, where do you see striking the balance between being passive and being positive? Because I think I would certainly appreciate your help on that particular point.
Thank you.
Yes, Richard, please.
Let's start by thanking Paul and Nick, who are very good friends of mine, even though we do not always agree completely, and for their kind words of appreciation. May I say, first of all, that the whole issue of the harbour started when I was a member of the Town Planning Board. I started serving on the board in 1988 and I served 8 years. Now, the issue is a very simple one. I regret very much that I have had to do this 11 years battle against the government, because I do believe that if the government had been properly guided and doing its job properly, the ordinance is unnecessary. After all, what are we talking about? Have you ever asked yourself, why are we here? Isn't it a matter of common sense and good town planning? That's all they were asking for. Common sense, you don't destroy a valuable public asset, which is really the lifeline of Hong Kong. That's common sense. And the other thing is good town planning. Which city under the world, look at Sydney Harbour, is protected? Because it's not by law, it's protected by common sense and good town planning. That's all that we're asking. When I drafted the ordinance, I paid very careful attention. I looked for precedents in Sydney and San Francisco Harbour. I couldn't find any. To my amazement, there's no such ordinance under the sun called the Harbour Ordinance. You do not need to protect a valuable natural asset. There's no ordinance, as far as I know, protecting Niagara Falls. So there you are. We are leaving it to your common sense. And also, when I drafted the ordinance, it was done in a very responsible way. I never said no reclamation. That would be wrong. The last thing I want to do is to hamper the proper town planning development of Hong Kong. You need to hold a very careful balance. The problem is, if we put the clock back 50 years, this ordinance may not have to be so tough. At that time, we still have a very large harbour. Now, we lost half of it. I'm very unhappy with the West Kowloon Reclamation. It destroyed the Western Harbour. Look at the government's plans. You have got settled, I'm now addressing the government, 584 hectares of reclamation. Gazetted. You want the details, I'll give it to you. Actually gazetted, and but for the ordinance, well, you won't have any harbour left today. It would all have been done. Green Island, 190 hectares, 1995. 96. Central Reclamation, 38 hectares, not the 23 today, 38, with the front part for sale for commercial development, that's 38. Then you have Kowloon Bay, 300 hectares, and so on. What are we doing? You know what the overseas Chinese and visitors are telling me? I get calls from them. They say that you people in Hong Kong are very short-sighted and greedy. That's the accusation. Short-sighted and greedy. You are destroying Hong Kong's future. And then, Paul's point. There are two ways to regard the law, even the basic law. I'm a lawyer. I've written an article last week with some courage. I accused China of not upholding the rule of law. Because there are two ways to regard the law. Either you uphold it, or you try to get around it. I don't know what's going to happen to Hong Kong. I don't know what the Hong Kong government is going to do with the ordinance. If you are here to uphold the law, I shall disappear and never appear again. But if the purpose is to get around the law, we'll see each other in court. I told the town planning board that they won't believe me, and I had to take them to court, and it pained me because I had all my good friends there. I was on my knees before them. I said, don't. This is not the law. You must respect the law. But they didn't. So I hope I will not here see you again, either here or in court. It's for you to uphold the law. I've done my bit. I hope that answers your question. Nick, you remain a very good friend. You are leaders of the Hong Kong community. Haven't I given you the spirit of what you want me to do?
Yes, I've given the spirit of what you're trying to do, but what I'm struggling with as a member of this committee and as a member of the community is where do we strike this balance between preserving and taking positive action to improve? And where do you see the line?
I see the line is very clear. Forget the word improve. You cannot improve on a tree. It's done by God. You cannot improve on the harbour. It's there. You improve the harbour front, by all means, as Paul said. That's what you need to do. Clean up the water, that's what you need to do. As for reclaiming the harbour, don't do it unless you have to. It's as simple as that. And I leave the whole judgment to the wise people leading Hong Kong. That's what you are here. You have a very heavy responsibility because you have the answer to future generations. Not me. Not to me. Nick, it's a matter of conscience. If you respect the spirit of the ordinance, that's all that I ask. The letter of the law is always a problem. We don't want to have to go back to the Court of Final Appeal or the NPC every time there's a problem. There is no problem if you respect the spirit of the law. That is what we need to do today. Do it not for us, but for the next generation. If you can answer to your grandchildren, then it must be the right answer. As simple as that. I'm speaking with some passion because I've given 11 years of my life to this. At some cost.
Alwin, please.
我相信我們也是共同的，我也會比較委員都是很慾格，不過我就覺得三位presenter給到一個很大的啟示我們，我會想HEC可以扮演什麼角色呢，在這方面，我就覺得其實可以兩方面我們可以在慾緊去做的，第一就是所謂被動一點去保護這個海港，第二就可能就是主動一點。 去令到海港令到更加多市民可以享用，但我就會看到其實三位 presenter 所講的內容，如果我們是純粹抽空，只是講一些原則性的意見，就可能未必可以幫到 HEC 去發揮我們自己本身的功能。 我就建議，唔知可唔可以喺未來嗰一年，其實喺 HEC 嘅工作上面，我哋都可唔可以去構思一下一啲係具體嘅計劃。 譬如就住某一個區域嘅海旁嘅檢討，就試下可唔可以真係用呢啲咁嘅方法去睇下可唔可以測試一下，三位 presenter 所提出嚟嘅原則係咪真係可行呢？譬如舉個例子，Albert頭先提嗰個模式，我哋去揾一個地方去。 真係試下嚟用嘅時候，可能就可以幫到唔單止 HEC 扮演到呢個先導一個 champion 嘅角色，亦都可能去幫到政府喺日後有關嘅事項上面都參考呢方面嘅模式，睇下可唔可以令到有個共識更加容易出現到。多謝主席。其他委員有冇咩對於三位
presenter 嘅 presentation 有冇啲咩提問或者係咩咧？我哋一陣間再請你回應好唔好？好嘅，先。
我話回應翻阿 Elvin 所講嗰個揾個機會咧，用翻阿 Elvin 所 suggest 咁嘅 property need test 嘅 process， 即係我跟翻自己嘅睇法，譬如啟德嗰度咧，其實我哋即係in a way 咧，我哋 half base 咗用咗咁嘅 community engagement 嘅手法去做嘅，咁所以即係我諗可能喺嗰度咧，我哋喺嗰方面咧可以做多啲嘢，跟翻即係阿 Elvin 提個 overriding property needs 嗰個 process。 咁但係我睇返 Albert 嗰個 process 呢，其實即係我哋係好唔想呢，所以好爭拗到 at the end 要喺法庭嗰度去判決嘅。咁其實我哋如果 go through 一個 proper 嘅 process 呢，即係如果我哋做得即係正確或者公平公開呢，其實我哋希望係 achieve 到呢樣嘢，唔使去到 court 翻我appeal去再做咁多 court 嘅判斷，咁多 legal 嘅 interpretation 咁複雜，即係有時自己都唔係好明講緊乜嘢。咁所以我即係 睇翻喺 Albert 嘅 process 裏面，我唯一即係有個 question mark 俾自己，就係究竟呢個 process 同埋喺個 timeline board 本身去制圖嘅過程裏面，係咪已經有大家好多重疊？同埋 at the end 究竟 open endorsement 嘅 plan 之後，即係有少少矛盾。叫 Albert 睇個睇法就係 suggest 個方法就係 at the end 個 administration 仲有個 decision 可以話再決定會唔會將個 endorse 個 plan。 個 reclamation 個 area 仲可以話，可唔可以全盤計劃咁推行又好，可以零碎咁推行都，我覺得咁樣有嗰度反而好多矛盾喺度，呢個係我即係第一個 observation。 第二個方面就係究竟 呢啲 endorse 嗰個 plan 之後個 timeline board 仲有冇個 role 喺度咧？究竟佢個銜接會係點樣咧？會唔會呢個咁嘅嘢，呢個 committee 或者呢個 panel 係會in a way 取代咗 timeline board？ 嗰個制圖個 function 咧， 呢個係第二點我嘅 observation。
我哋呢個 briefing 咧，一般嘅做法咧就係、請我哋委員咧就大家所提嘅 presentation 咧，剛做 presentation 咧，發表佢哋嘅意見。咁綜合咗個意見之後咧，再請我哋嘅 presenter 咧就回應。咁時間上比較處理得比較有效啲，否則每一點都回應咧，就時間就拖得長啲。仲有冇呢位委員啊 ，Vincent？
多謝主席。咁我聽完三個 presentation 嘅時候，即係其實解唔到我內心嘅憂慮。坐咗共建維港委員會都好耐。咁其實一個目的就係話，共建維港委員會成立嘅目的就係話，由唔同嘅組織嘅人喺社會上面唔同嘅關注海港嘅人咧，係作為一個委員會咧。是去尋求共識，咁我相信保護海港協會都有代表喺呢一度，咁做咗一年咧，我都仲未說服到自己咧，一個海港規劃呢個城市設計嘅問題咧，下下要去用法律去解決，而唔係用一個。尋求大家即是公民參與尋求共識的方法去解決。現在我看到一個矛盾，就是如果想創維港這一度是去提議了一個怎樣樣去建立共識，去證明這一樣東西填海與否， whether 這一樣東西是不是一個 overriding public needs 這個 test， 現在是大家要找一個機制去令到公眾參加共識，去解決一個海港的設計的問題。而另一方面，我聽到徐律師佢就係話，即係你而家做乜嘢都唔啱噶啦，你填乜嘢嘢都唔啱噶啦，咩都唔好做就最啱嘅時候。咁我哋點樣樣可以真係美化到嗰個海港呢？咁我覺得 HEC 真係要深入探討，究竟我哋而家採取一個咩取態咧？我哋係咪真係有個心去？做好啲個海港兩岸，即係真係還港於民，讓市民真係可以享用到個海港。當然亦都係話以最少嘅填海，甚至係避免嘅填海。呢、這個唔係支持填海嘅一個委員會嘛。但係呢個亦都唔係淨係講填海嘅委員會。呢、這個係一個點樣做到一個更美好嘅海港。我唔相信大家停曬喺度，即係話乜嘢都唔喺個海邊做個海港，自己搵啲海浪吹下吹下之後就會靚咗，佢唔會存在。咁我哋點樣去揾一個機制呢？即係既然嗰、那個呢、這個咁嘅保護海港條例係一個咁咁強硬咁白紙黑字嘅東西，但係佢都仍然係話要我哋去用一個機制去揾一個 overriding public needs test。咁我其實支持想創維港嗰個提議，就係話我哋真係要建立一個機制。雖然我頭先聽咗黎廣德講咗幾分鐘，我自己都覺得好複雜。看看有什麼辦法可以讓大家明白，可以簡單一點做到一個好一點的
事。除了稍微
我想即刻
耐心一點等等，好嗎？我們那個 process 是我們希望委員發表了他們的意見，我們再請三位綜合回應。
現在窒到我講不到了，多謝主席。
你是未講完的，你
本來未講完的，是
你企圖講完的了，好吧？
即我都會有火的咁但是個問題就是話，我哋都要做嘢，我哋個心係想整好嗰個海港，唔係淨係去拗填定唔填，即呢樣嘢係唔會幫到嗰個海港更加美好。多謝主席。
Nick, please.
Chairman, I wonder if I could just react quickly to Albert's presentation. I think an interesting proposal, interesting possible approach. My only concern is, reclamation is going to be the exception rather than the rule. If it's not, we've all got it wrong anyway. But if it is the exception, do we need such a complicated institutional process, if you like, to reach an outcome? There is an alternative model which I would have thought we ought to perhaps also to look at, and that is that this committee, having consulted all the stakeholders, makes a recommendation to government as to whether there is an overwhelming public need or not, and the government takes the guidance and the lead from this committee. I mean, that would be another model which we could look at and try. I think if we were expecting dozens of cases every year, then you know perhaps the Albert model might be appropriate. But I don't think we're there yet in terms of the number. And you know, if it's one a year, I would have thought it would be a lot, quite frankly. No.
仲有冇其他委員咧？Patrick。
多謝主席。剛才聽到幾位 presenter 咧，我嘗試咧就喺徐律師同埋Nick 之間咧揾到一個共通點。剛才Nick 就講到話，我哋係需要去 improve 嗰個 waterfront。咁啊，徐律師就話，如果喺個 public 一個 natural asset 咧，好難去 improve。佢用咗棵樹做例子，咁我就即刻有少少回應，因為我係一個 landscape architect， 所以我哋咧係當然，我哋係唔可以 improve， 即係如果用樹做例子，我哋係唔可以去 improve 棵樹。但係咧，而家最近咧就好流行咧，我哋係點樣去救棵樹嘅？即係話棵樹有病嘅時候，我哋要諗辦法去救佢，即係一個有生命，好似人咁樣。所以如果我哋係講呢個，即係呢個 overriding needs 咧，我覺得咧呢個係一個幾好嘅準則。就當然啦，即係如果佢冇事冇幹，我哋唔會填海嘅，一定唔會填嘅。即係如果係需要嘅時候咧，有真係好需要。而家咧，如果我哋咩都唔做咧，個海港會死嘅。即係如果係呢個咁嘅大前提底下，阿 Paul make 咗個 presentation 關於一個 living harbour， 即係我好同意嘅。即係個 harbour 係應該有一個有生命嘅一個地方嚟嘅，即係佢係有好多孕育咗好多唔同嘅活動嘅生命。咁如果我哋又乜都唔做 pollution 啊好多嘢咧，佢慢慢就會死。而家我哋東區一樣，即係好多喺海濱嘅地咧，攤咗喺度唔喐嘅時候咧，乜都唔做嘅時候咧，慢慢咧就有其他嘅嘢咧，即係譬如又攞嚟做一啲停車場啊，咩 public cargo 啊咁樣，咁變咗咧就令到個海港就真係死咗啦。即係嗰啲人咧 enjoy 唔到，咁啊慢慢就會好似走翻去過去嗰20年，就話點解我哋個海港搞成咁，就係、是、因為呢啲原因啦。所以我覺得咧，喺希望呢方面咧，就大家都可以攞到個共識，係點樣去救翻個海港啊？即係填海只不過係一個最後一個手段啊！多謝主席。
有冇其他委員有意見咧？
其實咧三位嘅 presentation 都好有參考價值嘅。咁其實即係始終我哋都係從一個比較上未清楚自己下一步嘅方向咧，都作為一個少少嘅參考係重要嘅。咁其實成個維港共建維港，我覺得首先我哋呢個委員會個責任同埋嗰個功能咧，就係預防，應該係 prevention。如果我哋能夠用個 law 或者係用咩 process 去 prevent， 即係去預防嗰、那個海港再被潛佔啊，或者係再被非法即係發展啊，或者係無理地發展，或者係不協調地發展，咁我諗呢個係預防性，我覺得係好緊要。第二個咧就係我哋呢個委員會就係應該去幫助去還原翻啲以前錯誤過嘅 mistake 或者係乜嘢，以前做錯咗嗰個垃圾站唔應該喺嗰度嘅，我哋勇敢地去改變佢，呢、這個就係 HEC 應該有咁嘅勇氣。咁第三咧就係話應該更創建地去提倡啦，我哋 land swap 啦。不如果我唔俾你喺嗰度發展，或者希望你唔好喺嗰度填海或者乜嘢時候，即係勇敢地去建議政府，不如去 swap 啦咁。咁其實從呢三個原則性度咧，就係、是、真係落實到法理嘅原則，落實到公眾參與嘅原則，咁最終咧，我覺得 HEC 就係應該扮演呢一個角色咯。
假如冇其他委員有意見咧，我哋請我哋三位presenter 咧就綜合回應一下。我哋首先請徐律師。
多謝。頭先答覆嗰位嘅問題咧。我想最重要你看回第二段已經寫了出來了。 Statutory duty， The primary duty is to protect and preserve the harbour。 這件事不僅止法律這樣說，六個法官對香港的有頭有腦的人都同意這句說話的，你們第一責任是保護海港，不是其他東西。跟著 Heavy Burden 那裡寫明呢，就算 nice to have、desirable、preferable or beneficial 都唔得，因為而家個海破壞得太慘啦， 呢啲係法官嘅説話，都唔係我寫喺嗰條法律嘅説話，係法官講嘅。CFA， 你睇嗰段啦，呢四個字咧解咗你頭先嘅問題啦。就算好靚、好好、非常之好，呢樣嗰樣都唔得。所以而家咧唔係 beneficial， 而家係 need 咧，真係咧好大嘅需要先做得到。呢個第二、第三，你哋責任點樣行法咧？你喜歡又好，唔喜歡又好，你哋第一個責任就係遵守法律，而遵守法律嘅第一責任就係保護個海港。你哋個責任咧就係政府想填海，你要睇翻 heavy burden 嗰段咧，你哋就要佢有個 heavy burden to rebut the presumption。你要政府推動法律禁止佢哋填海，而政府要 convince 到你哋，令到你哋服。非填不可的，要你們真的接受它填的，即是你們是一個防線來的，你們今天的責任就是不准填海，除非政府能夠產生到很適當的理由令到你們接受的，你們喜歡填好想填好，認為這樣應該這樣做挺好玩、哦、都不行的，你們沒有這個權、啊、因為如果有這個不清楚這個原則的呢，我們會在法庭見面的，好唔想啊！再頭先答覆呢位議員嘅意見，我哋冇話反對你整靚個海邊啦。我哋第一個原則就要現在所有海皮要改靚佢，唔好再搞到而家烏煙瘴氣。因為我哋第一原則，但你唔可以話，哎呀，我哋整個靚嘅海濱公園，再前多十公頃嚟俾市民享用。這個就不接受的，高等法院說明不行的，灣仔的哈巴帕說明是破壞法律，不守法，合不合法的，所以這件事你們沒有選擇權利，所以這個我們今天第一原則就要遵守法律。我答覆一件事，有時候你講得很好，我現在的做法呢就是你們的責任就是遵守法律第一，第二呢你們應該呢是政府的 honest mirror，我哋唔係話想令到香港唔發展，但發展得有個好合法合理嘅辦法。所以政府上嚟話要填海嘅咧，你應該一個 honest mirror，make sure 佢哋係遵守法律嘅。而你哋亦都有更加大嘅責任，就係、是、市民靠曬你哋噶啦，下一代靠你哋噶，所以呢個好大嘅責任。所以你哋嘥咁多精神時間嚟開會咧，本人好佩服，亦都好欣賞。但是今日的责任就是这样了，没有弯转的，是难，但难的错处不在你这里、哦、就是终审庭讲明呢现在剩下这么少，我们要尽量珍惜，是这样的。 Thank you。
我们师傅，我们已经去到就是 comment 完了，问我们的 presenter 总结，师傅你是不是有个又有个 overriding need 就想咁你講埋啦，
少少啊，多謝主席俾你機會嚇。其實頭先徐師講出嘅問題咧，都係呢一年裏邊我諗困惑我哋部分 member 嘅一啲，即、就、係、是、我哋內部，即、就、係、是、我哋嘅 committee 一個，即、就、係、是、所謂 official member 同unofficial member 之間嘅溝通個資料嘅個交通嘅問題嚇。就即係舉，即係我哋大家都知道，譬如話有啲嘢，譬如話填海，譬如我舉一個例，就以灣仔。即係 Central 灣仔 bypass 咧，其實就都我哋有啲委員都提出，第一係咪有一定有咁嘅需要啦？咁當政府就話有咁嘅需要啦，我哋都理解呢個係一個係策略性嘅道路系統嘅一部分啦。咁但係咧，其實喺我哋一會上邊咧，亦都好快咧就冇再去深入去傾呢樣嘢嚇。咁雖然呢啲嘢我哋深入都未必識，但係即係似乎喺政府方面嚟講咧，佢就只不過係試過一兩次去 present 就係揾啲專家嚟好簡單咁講解。但其實我哋一般嘅市民咧，冇辦法接觸到一啲數據，咁亦都我哋冇辦法揾一啲專家咧，去再攞多個意見去睇下。咁變咗咧，引申到咧，就變咗，即係其實即係喺我哋嚟講咧，係咪一定有咁嘅需要去做呢樣嘢，或者有冇一啲其他好啲嘅方法？咁而引申到啊，就係心理後期我哋呢、這個一個 subcommittee 出一份所謂一個諮詢嘅小錦囊，咁即係嗰陣時都係闖出啦，咁變咗有得三個方案喺度。咁而一個所謂一個 sale option， 即係話唔填海個 option 係點咧？咁我哋其實都冇一個詳細嘅一個探討嚇。咁我希望喺呢一方面咧，其實都睇到如果將來做落去啦，咁有可能 即係徐生就繼續用法律途徑同我哋一啲嘅 option 或 proposal 去見，咁樣都唔係一個香港啊，真係一個我哋想見到一個局面嚇。咁呢一方面，我都想提議一下，我哋遲啲係咪都檢討下喺呢一方面，我哋個係咪可以喺呢一方面做得好啲嚇？啊，多謝主席。
頭先講嗰樣嘢咧，正正就係阿 Albert 提到嗰個 professional input and information sharing。咁我哋跟住請阿 Albert 就就佢聽到各位委員嘅意見或者回應一下好嗎？
哦，多謝主席。我有個好深嘅感受咧，就係話咧，儘管個法律咧而家喺我哋面前啊，但係咧，我知道 CFA 裏邊咧，即係其實佢嘅判詞裏邊都提到咧，即係法庭咧就唔係一個規劃師嚟嘅。就不應該將個規劃呢樣嘢咧交俾個法庭嗰度做。咁而法庭咧，其實都好聰明地咧，就講咗一個好重要嘅字，就是、overriding public needs。用 public 呢個字好緊要嘅，因為咧，既然係一個公眾需要嘅話咧，咁咧呢個公，我哋一定要有一個程序咧，將呢個決定咧交翻俾個公眾。咁所以咧，我哋係呢個想創維港提出嚟咧，整個程序，成個成個嘅設計咧，都係話咧，首先係通過咗一啲即係專業嘅意見，將一啲可行性嘅方案擺咗俾公眾睇，睇清咗之後咧，然後咧透過一個好嚴格嘅程序咧，吸收到一個公眾嘅價值判斷，然後咧先再通過一個公開確認嘅程序咧，去決定呢件事。嗱，咁我覺得咧，即係我哋作為所有嘅委員咧，我諗我哋都有個責任咧，亦都係一個謙卑嘅責任啦，就係話咧，公眾既然係講緊凌駕性嘅公眾需要咧，咁咧係如果我哋冇咗呢個公眾嘅過程咧，而去無論係決定填海又好，決定唔填海都好啦，其實咧，我覺得呢樣嘢都係有所不足嘅。所以點解我哋設計呢個過程咧，嗰、那個整個咧，大家睇到咧，公眾參與咧係一個非常之一個充分一個嚴格的程序。咁我解釋一下咧，就剛才咧阿 Roger 提到一個 point 咧，就係話究竟點解就算我哋咧係 endorse 個 plan， 咁仍然都係去交翻俾政府嘅決定起唔起咁樣。咁呢度咧我解釋清楚啦，因為根據嗰個法律咧其實咧呢、這個最後嘅決策咧係要有個 public officer 去決策嘅。咁先至會構成一個究竟你填海又唔填海，咁亦都先會有可能會構成一個即係法院佢去決定接唔接納將來呢個咁記錄。咁既然係咁樣嘅話咧，我相信咧經過呢個公眾程序之後得到嘅意見咧，其實呢個意見咧係好清楚嘅。我哋提出嘅咧就係話咧，我哋唔係話咧政府跟住可以係好隨便咁取捨呢個意見，是啱啱相反，我哋建議咧就係話呢個假設呢個係一個確認咗嘅填海計劃咧，政府咧係需要咧係一係咧就決定去執行，一係決定唔執行啊，佢可以決定可以如果有其他嘅。當然啦，如果佢係要決定唔執行嘅話咧，就有需要付出一個一定嘅政治嘅代價。咁同樣地咧，我哋點解係一個公開嘅確認過程咧？亦都係希望咧。所有立法會啊，同埋城規會嘅委員咧，都喺度參與嘅過程裏面。咁假設咧執行嘅過程裏面咧，其實佢都會有一啲行政嘅程序需要通過佢哋嘅手續嘅。咁如果係咁樣嘅，既然係有佢哋有參與咗呢個公開確認過程嘅話咧，咁呢啲手續咧，如果佢到時先之後咧，先至再有啲咩變更嘅時候咧，咁亦都會係一個政治代價喺裏面。我相信咧喺目前我哋嗰個體制嚟講咧，就只係做到咁樣。但我要強調一樣，我俾個例子咧，就話假設譬如我哋而家講緊喺啟德嘅規劃檢討裏面，我哋唔可以排除到咧有一啲可能性咧，就係話公眾嘅意見咧係認為，譬如啟德名渠可能有部分咧，因為污染嘅原因等等嚇，認為咧係最理想嘅方案咧，我哋係需要有一個咁嘅一部分填海嘅方案。如果係咁嘅時候咧，我哋建議咧就需要啟動呢咁嘅程序，因為剛才咧Nick Brook 提到話，如果既然填海唔係經常發生，點解我哋需要咁嘅程序咧？咁其實這個呢個咧，我嘅答案咧就係話，正正因為咧填海一個 exception rather than the rule 啦，咁所以咧。這個程序呢就正正是要來呢是一個非常嚴謹的過程，如果公眾的意見是覺得呢最沒有其他合理的取代方案需要填海的話呢，那才啟動一個這麼嚴謹的程序呢，是去確認有一個凌駕性的公眾需要，這樣呢才可能呢是最終呢會被法庭承認呢這個凌駕性公眾需要呢的確呢是因為這樣而確立，而不是呢很隨便這樣呢是去做出的決策。多謝。
How you have the last word or almost?
You will have the last word, Chairman.
Sorry, 主席，我可唔可以答黎先生讲嘅嘢？好嘛，因为我未讲到佢嗰份。 他讲的机构和那个办法，我觉得那个构思和办法是其次的。你们对公众交代呢，你要两个很清晰的。第一，你们这个会一定要表示是绝对独立，不是政府的机构。第二，你的 public consultation 呢 must be genuine， 就不是做戏的。好像这本东西这样的呢，令到你们失很多票的。现在公众对你们的信心呢大有摇动。那有一个问题会或者在立法会问的，印这本东西是花多少钱的？现在呢，谁负责这笔费用？市民的钱来的。怎么会发生这个问题？因为这本东西要法庭的呢，不会成立的。这个怎么会是 genuine public consultation 的？这个叫 whitewash， 这个叫做是监督误导市民的文件来的。所以有你们的名字在这里的呢，本人对你们都很有疑问，怎么会发生这件事的呢？那你从政府要交代，可能你要执政政府，怎么会发生这件事？那不是 genuine public consultation 了。刚才黎先生讲什么呢？做一个虚浮的构思，就说了法官怎样审判案法是排第二，第一紧要个法官要公正英明。所以这件事就是 challenge 给你们，你们要公正英明独立，就不是政府的棋子。这件事不是向我本人交代，这是你们向公众的交代。今次是犯了很大的错误，所以你们是要补回锅的所谓。 Thank you。
除了司官都有委员跟你解释了这件事，那你或者再考虑一下他刚才的解释。 Paul please。
I just feel like I have to respond to Winston there slightly. Yes, the ATC is not entirely independent, Winston. We have a secretariat that is controlled by the government and employed by the government. And the unofficial members are unpaid for and do this out of their own time and their own resources, where the government has all the resources. So in this advisory body is in that sense not a balanced committee. And we can therefore also make mistakes, and I think those mistakes have been recognised. And we are looking forward to try to look into how we're going to operate as ATC, and hopefully we can make amendments to that, and lots of proposals are out there and to be considered. But we're not getting necessarily the support we need from those who can give us that support. But I'm sure going forward there is a recognition, and hopefully the central one-side bypass is going to be the crucial one. The government feels that they need the central one-side bypass. So this is going to be the critical one where everything is going to hang on. KY, I'm glad you're still here. So if you're going to look at what causes are there for reclamation. And I think there are basically two. And we can look at those two for today and for tomorrow. If we look at it today, a cause for reclamation could be the repair of our harbour front, i.e. the water-land interfaces and so on. There may be that we have to do some repair work to make the harbour front work, because it's a disaster right now. I mean, it's a harbour front that's designed and developed for completely different uses than we want to have today. So there might be some repair work required. There might be some piling required for some piers. We know there are no public piers in Quarry Bay. We may need that. There's some repair work required. So that may cause reclamation. There is a reclamation which is going to be what I call legacy demand for harbourfront lands. Now, one legacy demand is because of the decisions we've made in the past. So we've made decisions in the past which are causing traffic jams now today in Central, and which is to be answered to. Now, whether or not that has to be answered to by the Central One to a bypass can be disputed. And the government has to demonstrate that they've done everything possible to avoid having to build a central one-shot bypass. And all of us, and a lot of the people out there, are saying, you're not demonstrating that. You're not demonstrating that you have done everything possible to avoid building a central one-shot bypass. So legacy demand puts a heavy burden on the government to prove. And if they read the three documents from Winston, from Albert and myself today, they can see the heavy burden that they face in front of them to deal with that. But legacy demand goes further. Today, Yau Tong Bay comes in and said we need reclamation, and that was committed in the past. Heliports says we need reclamation. The GFS says, you promised us reclamation. What other reclamation has been promised? transport department presented to LegCo something about Route 4, which include reclamation. So what is the end of the list of legacy demands? When is HEC going to say to government, come on, give me your full list? Let's not bullshit each other anymore. Let's give me the full list. As Albert says, give me that proper, full and final information which you're not providing us, which we don't have. Now, one of the issues is the government can't do all of that because they're disorganized internally about this issue. They don't have one overview of what the whole harbour is all about. And then we are trying to battle with them, but they come to do it themselves internally. You can't. So we can't get the answer. So legacy demand is an issue we have to address. And how HEC is going to deal with legacy demand, I think the documents today put a good hurdle. Now, for tomorrow, it's like, you know, if we look at the tree, once we have fixed the tree, pruned it, and then the tree is healthy, the harbour's healthy, we've put the piers where we need it, there is maintenance issues. There might be changing uses of the harbour. The harbour will be a living thing. We'll have to continue to do things, which may, if we can't at all avoid it, require some form of, technically, some reclamation, because piling is reclamation. So, but that's a maintenance issue. That will be very low level. If we've done our job right in repairing the harbour, there's not going to be any future requirement for maintenance, not a lot. And if we have done our job right, and we've done what I suggested here, is that we're going to avoid demand-generating policies, there will no be legacy demand in the future for incompatible harbourfront land users. There's not going to be the need for more roads on our harbourfront because we have recognized properly that we cannot build them anymore on the harbourfront because we've said no reclamation. Now, if we can't commit to those, we will face a situation that we face you in court.
That's right.
Because we haven't done our job.
That's right.
And as a committee, to be very honest, we don't have the resources to these things. As the Harbourfront and Housing Committee does not have the resources to do the job that I just outlined properly. So we're going to be reliant on the Planning and Land Development Committee and what they can achieve internally in the government to put in the right resources. And if they can't, because they basically can coordinate various departments, but they can't take policy decisions, then we've got to go upstairs. Do we go to the policy committee of the CS? But they only coordinate policies, so where do we go? Is it going to be the CE who's going to say, this is my vision for the harbour, and we're going to do this right, and then we're going to all advise him and report, and then we're going to get all the government departments to work together properly? Or does all the harbourfront land be transferred to a harbour authority who takes that responsibility? Those are the key questions. If you don't answer them, we can never deal. We're going to see you in court because we will be hobbling along. We just kind of, the ball keeps rolling. And we can't stop it because we don't have the resources, Winston. Thank you, Chairman.
多謝三位presenter和我們分享了今天分享了他們的個人看法和他們的專業知識。 亦都好多謝佢哋嘅忠告，佢哋嘅advice。 咁我哋今日第四個議程呢，就已經過咗中半個鐘頭啦。咁我哋就今日就到此就結束呢個議程。